a church. This is the third time they have been here at our church, and every time they come, they bring an encouraging word to us. And that is Pastor Michael and Gloria Cotton. Come on up, Pastor Michael and Gloria. Give them a big hand clap as they come. As they come today, let me tell you a little bit about what's going to happen this morning. You know, Pastor and Michael and Gloria really possess what's called the gift of prophecy. When I just gotten saved, I was sitting in a crowd just like this. And there was a man who came with the same gift that this couple possesses, the gift of prophecy. And all that simply means is to encourage, to see things in you that you can't see and really call that out. And as I was sitting there in that crowd, I remember this man, his name was Pastor John Rohr. He pointed at me and he said these words. He says, "You have been in a relationship, and that relationship has caused a lot of discouragement." Pastor Michael, my mouth hit the floor, because the girl I thought I was going to marry had just dropped me like a hot potato. I was like, how does this guy know this? What is going on? Nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew the situation I was in. But it was because God was speaking directly to him, through him to me, encouraging me that God had someone else. And of course, little did I know, but my wife was sitting in that same room that day when that happened. So God moves in miraculous ways, and he's going to move through this great man and woman of God to us today. Father, thank you so much for Pastor Michael and Gloria. Lord, just the long, many years of ministry. Lord, just the fruitfulness that they have. Lord, we receive them here today as family. We receive their gift here today. Move through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a big hand clap.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Thanks, Lance. Our topic of our message today is the big middle, from when God says something to when it comes to pass. We live there all the time, and you were in the middle of a big middle when God spoke to you. And you're thinking, I know there's a blessing. I'm supposed to be, when you're born again, you know you're destined for some kind of blessing. You know you're not just, weren't thrown on the ash heap.
That's right.
But between that understanding and awareness and awakening who God is and who you are in God, and when things begin to come to pass, there's a big lump of a middle in there.
That's right.
And that's where we get tested and tried in that thing. And when Satan is trying to discourage us and blow us off where we are and think we're just destined for an ash heap. We want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, you just jump in whenever you want to.
Okay, go ahead. I'll jump
in. Of course, that's not a worry, actually.
I have my own microphone.
Oh, yeah. Jesus is Lord now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I tell you what. So we wanted to take a minute. We have a word for the church, and this church is not an ordinary church. You may know that, you may not. But this is not just some corporate idea.
Yeah.
You need to hear that. It's not a corporate idea. Well, we have a sector so-and-so, and it needs a church. Let's put somebody. No. This church is birthed out of the Word of God. It's birthed out of the heart of God and out of the Word of God. And so the beginning here said, we're going to impact this area. We're going to bring the life of Christ and the understanding of who Jesus is and the authority of Christ into this area. That's the beginning of the thing. And God's going to do this and this and this and this. And words have been spoken over this church. So if you're at the beginning and looking way over there at the end of what's already been spoken, you're in a big middle now.
Right.
And so when you're in the middle, it's important to remember how it began. I want to start with a scripture here. And I'm sorry, I was supposed to turn in a list of scriptures. Whoever that is, just be quick on your feet. You were asking a prophet to turn in a list of scriptures.
Well, you do have them written down.
I do have them written down, I do.
That's unusual.
Isaiah 46, 8 through 11. Remember this and stand firm. Okay, that's the word for today. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There's no other. I'm God. And there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. God says to Bethel Community Church, God will accomplish all of his purpose that he's already spoken over you. And it would be important to bring out the book of remembrance and begin to read again over the leadership and over the church. This is what God said. This is his purpose that he's already declared beforehand. And we remember what he has said so we can understand what is to come. And that we not lose heart in the middle saying, well, God said this, but we hadn't seen that. And how long has this church been in existence now? 17 years. 17 years. And see, when God tells you something, he doesn't say, dude, it's going to be 18 years. He doesn't do that. He doesn't. Now, the angels know, and they're going, well, God bless Lance's heart. But we just spoke, God just spoke stuff to him, and he doesn't know it's going to be 18 years before he sees some of this stuff. Yeah. So as we were praying about getting back out on the road, and God had given us permission to travel again, told us July would be safe to go. And sure enough, this thing opened up for us to come up here to Nashville to a conference. God began to do this peculiar thing with me for about 4 weeks now. I've had people call me, write me, text me. And it's almost invariably it's been, you prophesied over me 40 years ago. And I want you to know it's all come to pass. Wow. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I must be a really good prophet. But then God would go, Michael, do you remember 40 years ago you were dumb as a post? It wasn't about you or about the expertness of your gift. It was about them. I was on a Zoom prophetic call with a group in Maine. I had never met them. Just some association linked me up, and they wanted to meet me. And so they had a leadership team there. And the thing comes up, and this woman who's sitting there speaks with an Icelandic accent and says, I know you. I'm going, what? What do you mean? She says, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you prophesied over me in Reykjavik, Iceland. Jim LaFoon had drugged me there the first time. You have to be drugged to Iceland. And then he left me. And it was me over there, and I prophesied over this lady, and I said, so what did I say? And she said, you said that I would be married. At that time, she was a young lady. But I would not be married to an Icelander, but to an American. And I'm going, okay, Jesus. So how did this turn out? She goes, and this guy leans into the picture, waves at me. So she had to live in a big middle between when that word was spoken to her and realizing I'm not going to meet my guy here. It's going to be somewhere in the United States. And she moves over to be next to her sister and sure enough meets this guy. But in between, she's having to live on the word that was spoken, having faith that that which was spoken would come to pass. Yeah, so we wanted to take a minute, just a minute, and give at least one example, depending on whatever goes on, just to give one example and see where it goes from there, okay?
The 11th chapter of Hebrews is full of examples of what we're talking about. It lists one after the other of people that, where if you've read any, or even just been in Sunday school when you were a kid, you heard stories about these people, about Abraham and how God told him he was gonna be the father of a multitude of people that were more than the stars in the sky, and he gets to be 100 years old and he doesn't even have one child. So There, you know, but he knew, it's Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed God. And in that big middle Michael's talking about, his big middle was almost his whole life. Where he was, but he believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. So what we do in the middle, between when we hear and receive the word of God, and there's this impetus in us, we can hardly wait to see it come to pass. We get excited and our faith is quickened. But then it usually takes longer than we thought it was going to take. And in that place, that's the most important place. That's the place where faith counts. That's the place where God builds our character, and it's also the place where he builds our relationship with him. Now, Abraham's took his whole life long till he was 100 years old, and it was absolutely impossible, which is very frequently how it happens when God speaks to us. He waits till we get absolutely beyond any of our capacity to bring it to pass in our own strength. And then he moves. And when we get to the place where you know, it's hard to even pray about it anymore. Have you ever been there where you've believed God for something and it looks so absolutely impossible? There's no way. It's, you come to the place where you realize it's not in me to walk in this.
Right.
Well, God spoke to me one time and he said, I'll never ask you to do something you are able to do.
Wow.
What God calls us to is beyond our capacity. And so in that interim between when he speaks it to us and when he brings it to pass, that big middle is the place where we realize our insufficiency to accomplish the task. And that's where faith is built. Because we come to that place where we say, God, if you don't do this, it will not get done. And we realize our dependence on him. And that's the best place. It's sometimes there have been some times when I've said, God, I am absolutely at the end of my rope. And he'll say to me, I've been waiting for you to get here. So one of the prayers that we pray is, God, teach us how to live at the end of our rope instead of always having to get here. But in that place where we come to the end of our rope, we come to the end of ourselves, that's the place where the faith needs to really kick in. And like Abraham, who, I mean, it's amazing to me that Abraham was willing to respond to God when he said, go into your wife. It had probably been a while, at 100 years old. But he went into his wife again by faith, and lo and behold, they conceived that child that was the child of promise.
Good.
But he died not ever seeing. He saw Isaac. He saw the one. He saw the one child, but he never saw the fulfillment of what God had said to him, that his descendants would be as the stars of the sky. But he sees it now.
Good.
Yeah, he sees it now.
And the thing is that when God speaks to you like that, this stuff is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous on what God says to you he's going to do with you.
Yes.
And you sit there, and when your mind gets straight, you're going, psh, psh, that just can't be.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. I can't figure that out. And if I can't figure it out, seeing being humans, if we can figure it out, we got a way to approach it. But God will put you in the realm constantly of not being able to figure out how in the world he's going to do what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for this lady right here, would you stand up? Another one, you just looked over your shoulder. You right here. Yes, you. Yeah. Is it okay if I give you a word from God? Can I do that? It's not going to make you mad or anything. Well, listen, one of the things I do is it's ridiculous, but I'm a guy. I'll go on YouTube, and I like to listen to YouTubes where other guys start big engines. So I look at YouTubes of when they're starting the ship's engines on a big, large LCC, big, large cargo carrier, and I just love that. I can't tell you why. but I saw you when I was sitting over here. I looked over there and saw you, and I heard the sound of a big engine starting up in you. And you're just a lady. But I heard a big engine, like a big diesel, just begin boom, 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 boom. The first stroke of the, I hear that. And God says for me to tell you just first that the engine of the Spirit, He's starting up a new engine of the Spirit in you. There are weird things, flashes going on in your mind and in your emotions having to do with times you feel like you just want to jump out of yourself, or you feel a quickening of the Holy Spirit. And it's right now it's not difficult to handle because it's just coming in spurts. Like that engine just vroom, just one turnover. God has a call on you about healing, about laying hands on people and healing the sick. I don't mean talking people into feeling better. I mean miracles, signs and wonders of healing. And you feel this thing. And I'm looking at, go look at the YouTube video. You ask the guys where they find those things. But big diesel engine starting up. Google that or put that in on YouTube. And so you feel this, and your whole something inside is turning over. And then it'll pass away and you're, oh, I'm okay. Whatever that was is gone now. But this thing's going to start. God's starting this up, and it's a big, huge engine, and it's completely outsized for who you are. But of course, it's outsized for any human being. But God's going to use you in signs, wonders, and miracles for healing. And all I can tell you is when God begins to move like this, you need to cooperate with Him. Just begin to find some sick people and lay hands on them. Just cooperate with Him. And you, some of these big engines, there's one, the big tugboat in Canada somewhere, frozen and cold. They're having to light fires under it and everything. But sooner or later, once it catches, it never stops. And you can help by just laying hands on sick people. And all you're doing is you're saying, turn this thing over, light the fire up under me, get the oil hot, and light the fire up, and get this thing started. But the day's going to come when it's going to become, it'll be the thing controlling and setting the speed for you. And diesel engines, those big ones, they don't run fast. They just run strong. So God's going to give you a longevity and a strength in difficult situations, in hospitals, in the middle of the night, in foreign countries, I don't know. But God's going to give this to you. And it's the call on your life. And it's going to be your heartbeat. You're going to be, your heart will beat in synchronicity with the beat of that engine of healing that He's put in you. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Well, you know, mental health, so much of that is half physical and half emotion. I just want to encourage you to begin to lay hands. And please don't be religious. If you don't know how to do this, you don't need to go around and say, be healed. You don't have to. Okay. Just be healed in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God heal you. Just, okay? All right. What's your name? Morgan. What does that mean? Do you know? Morgan.
Lover of the sea.
Lover of the sea?
I think so.
Okay. Somebody might want to look that up. Just Morgan, meaning of name. Google that. There's a key somewhere in there for you. Don't know what it is, but there will be a key somewhere in the meaning of your name or in the use of your name in old times.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
The lady back there in the red. Yes. Yeah. The Lord says He's put healing words in your mouth. It isn't like you talk people into being healed, but that God shows you the thing that's hindering healing. And you can, and He will put words in your mouth to speak to that hindrance and remove it by the word of God in your coming out of your mouth. Has that happened to you yet? Okay. Well, it's can I pray for you? Would you just come up this way a little bit? Yeah. Father, I ask you to put your word in her mouth, Lord. Not only to write it on her heart, Lord, but at the right time for your word to float right up into her mouth, Lord, that you would give her discernment to see the root cause of things that are making your people sick, whether it's in their soul or in their body, that truth that you've written on her heart, that your word would come floating right up to her mouth at the right moment, and that she would speak it and the hindrance would be removed and people would be healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. So God spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to take a minute and paint this picture. This goes back to the tabernacle of Moses. If you remember, it was the second temple, really, the first being Garden of Eden, but this is a second one. The temple is where God meets with people on a regular basis. And the tabernacle of Moses, as it was set up, there was an outer court and then a big place where you washed yourself and the priest washed themselves. And then there was an altar of sacrifice and then a big tent. And the tent was in two rooms. There was an outer room with candles and incense and stuff going on. People were there all the time. But then there was a room inside of that called the Holy of Holies, and the piece of furniture in there was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a box, and it was overlaid in gold, and then there was a lid on it, and on the lid, it was gold, and there was a rim all the way around, and there were two angels, one on each end. So they were, the angels were standing there like this, their wings outstretched and looking down at what was called the mercy seat. And it was called the mercy seat because once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest and him alone would come in, and he'd take the blood of a bull and sprinkle on it for himself so God wouldn't kill him because he was in the Holy of Holies. And then he would sprinkle blood on it for the sins of the people for the last year. And it's how they kept themselves going so the sin of the nation wouldn't accumulate and drag them down to the ash heap. And you could only go in one time a year, which we know in Hebrews just means that at that time the way into the Holy of Holies was not open, that Jesus became the one who opened the way into this Holy of Holies. But so hold that picture, the two angels, one on each end of the Ark of the Covenant, peering down at what is this mystery of redemption and forgiveness with the sprinkling of the blood. And we go back to John 20. I'm telling you, God declares the end from the beginning. You ready for this? John 20, 10 through 12. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Jesus, they went in the next day after Jesus had been crucified, put in the tomb, stone rolled over, and the women go and see the stones roll back, and they don't know where anything's going on, and the disciples come, and they sort of look around, but then they go back. And then Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. So it's something about women, and they're persisting to get in to where God is. That's why I'm so glad I'm married to Gloria, because anyway, that's a whole different, that's a marriage seminar, I suppose. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. Now listen to this now. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet, which is the Ark of the Covenant. It's the same picture. Isn't that something? So when God is talking to Moses about designing the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, he's prophesying that empty tomb. He declares the end from the beginning. And as he's done with Jesus and created a picture of this, he does that for us too. Does this make sense? And when you begin to grab hold to the promises of God and look at them again and realize, gee whiz, this stuff is impossible. You know, we just put you in the big middle. You know that, don't you? Word's been spoken. You're going, healing and signs and wonders and miracles. That's you. What is that? And how do I get from here to there? So God says, look back and remember the words. Play them over and over again. Get out. You know, we write this stuff down and go back and reread it twice a year. Everything God has said over us, got a big, thick book. About half of it's checked off, but we got a lot of stuff to do. That's why I know we're not dying right now. Because the run, the word has not been accomplished in so many different things. Okay.
Yeah, and they're in that testing. If you, the classic example in the Bible is the story of Joseph. I mean, God speaks to him and tells him, sees his brothers bowing down before him. I mean, he sees his glorious vision. And the next thing he knows, those very brothers have thrown him in a pit, sold him into slavery. And his life is a big roller coaster after that. He gets these glorious rescues from various situations, and then, boom, there's another pit. And then he gets rescued, and then, boom, there's another pit. And his life is like that up until the time when the vision actually gets fulfilled. But in those places, just like with Abraham, in the pits, when it's not happening, those are the places where his character was built and where his faithfulness to the Lord was built, his relationship with God was built. And that character and that relationship with God was what was needed for him to be able to walk in what God had promised. So that the path by which we walk to get where God wants us to be, the process is as important as the end product.
And so here's the great scripture from Joseph. Mm-hmm. His father is down in Egypt. Joseph becomes the ruler, the number two ruler in the whole world. Pharaoh gives him everything. And over the course of the famine, Pharaoh ends up owning all of Egypt, the land, the cattle, livestock, and all the people. He owns everything. Joseph makes him the richest man the world has ever seen. Joseph brings all his family down. They're taken care of. They're fancy and secure and famous. And then his father dies, and his brothers who sold him into slavery are now scared of him because they think now that the daddy's dead, Joseph's going to have his way with us and kill us, which they knew they deserved. Here's how this saying ends. I think it's one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. His brothers also came. This is Genesis 50, 18 through 21. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, you got to hear this now, because he understood the beginning. He was living in the end, but he understood the beginning. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And if he was using our words today, he would say, this was the plan of God. Didn't have anything to do with me or you. This was the plan of God, and I'm here not because of you, but because the plan of God given in those two dreams I had when I was a kid are being fulfilled in your sight today. And we are just moving in the river in the plan, or the word in the Greek is the unfolding plan, or the teleos. We're moving in the teleos of God, and we're being carried along in this. My life is carried along. Yours is carried along. And don't worry. This is not about vengeance or anything else. This is the teleos, the unfolding plan of God. So we need to be able to say this about ourselves. I want to encourage you, whatever God said to you, you need to go, if you haven't written it down, pull out old, not tapes. I'd be the only one here with old tapes. But pull out whatever you've got and write it down and start reminding yourself, this is the plan of God. And I am in the middle of an unfolding plan. I am caught up in the current of the river, and I'm just being carried along. And my attitude can be up or down, but the current of the river is going to carry me anyway. And I need to look back and look forward, not with fear. Oh, will I accomplish? Will I be smart enough, work hard enough, be lucky enough to accomplish the plan of God over my life? No, that's not it. The plan of God, control, it is the river, and you're just caught up in it. And He will take you where you need to go. So we were, it was 3 years ago, Gloria suffered from heart trouble, and it's a little bit of a miracle that she's here. Actually, it's multiple big miracles. We were. She was having severe chest pain, and I took her as fast as I could to Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, great hospital, and in the ER. And I called my middle son Ben, who lives nearby. He's a pastor, and he came over. Didn't call him because he was a pastor, just because he's number two son, and he's like a rock. His name is Ben Benjamin, son of my right hand, man of strength. That's what God told me. He's a man of strength. Name him Benjamin. Son of my right. I called him, and we were over there, and they were back there working on Gloria and trying to save her life. And I take a rest, and Ben goes back in there and where they're doing the pictures. Anyway, some kind of where they inject something. You don't know, but they were injecting something and running the dye up in there. And she had a heart attack on the table, and they were all going nuts. And the doctor looked at Ben and said, "Get out." He comes out and sits down with me, and we're in the ER, 3 a.m. You know what that's like, do you? Most of you do, maybe. There's nothing like the emergency room at 3 a.m.
Yeah, right.
And he just looked at me as almost weeping and said, "Dad, it's bad in there. It's bad." And I was sitting there, and I heard God clears a bell, say, "Am I finished with her?" That's the way He talks to me. He doesn't go like, "Bless your heart, Michael." He doesn't talk to me that way. "Am I finished with her?" Like a little slapping. I said, "No, sir." And it came on me just so clear. Is this the worst the devil can do, is try to kill Gloria? That's nothing compared to His plan for her life. And she's in the current of the river, and it's inescapable for her. And we were comforted, and at that moment, for me at least, the fear of death left.
Good.
Is that all the devil can do, is try to kill me? Mm-hmm. But the best thing you could do is kill me, because then I'd be in heaven. It wouldn't hurt anymore or anything else. Gloria wouldn't be having a heart attack.
You know, from the perspective, I'm 74 years old, and from my perspective now, I can't tell you how important it is that you let the Holy Spirit give you His perspective on the importance of your life, and that you have a place in that telios of God. The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew you, and He wrote in His book every plan that He had for you. And Job 42:2 has become one of my favorite scriptures. Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Nothing can stop the plan of God. God's purposes will be fulfilled. The things He has spoken to you that are His purpose for you, it will be fulfilled. But it won't be fulfilled by your hand. It will be fulfilled by His hand, His power working through you. And if you can see that it's really not even about you. What you do is, of course, going to be important to you, and it's important to God. It's how God fulfills His plans through our hands. But He's the one who does it, and He's going to bring it to pass. Job said this sitting on an ash heap covered with boils. Nothing can stop the purpose of God. We need to say that, whether it's in the middle or whether it's in the fulfillment, but especially in the middle, especially when we're in that pit like Joseph was in the pit. We need to say to ourselves and to the Lord and to people around us, nothing can thwart the purpose of God. I don't understand what's going on with me right now. I don't know why all this stuff is happening that looks bad, but I know that God is in control and that He is going to fulfill His purpose that concerns me. What He has spoken, He will accomplish. And it's not a matter of making positive confessions. It's not a name it and claim it thing. It's that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The word of God will not return void. And that includes the word He's spoken to me about my life and what He's spoken to you about your life. It was written in His book before the foundation of the world. And it will be accomplished because nothing can thwart the purposes of God.
Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Here we go. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. You're being formed in your mother's womb, and your days, this current of the river, is being written in your book that every day would be fulfilled. Does that make sense? And so when I'm in the big middle, I need to be saying constantly, well, Lord, you wrote this. This is in my book. This is in my book. I don't know how it's going to happen. It makes me worry that I'm going to miss it. But instead of being worried about missing it, we need to be peeking down the river. Whoa, what's coming next? We need to recover a childlike excitement in going around the next corner and seeing what's there. Instead of being full of fear, we need to be full of excitement and expectation. So this is a word for the church, but there are also many people here, and right now you know who you are, where you've either given up, fallen into a depression. Worry has led you into a depression. I'm never going to be what I'm supposed to be. The days that were written for me, I don't even know where that book is.
Right.
You need to remember what God has declared over you from the beginning. Does this make sense? And now, and this is just a picture. God's declared over you now things that He's going to do. And it's going to have everything make sense. All this stuff that's been going on, it's going to make sense. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, let's stand up. Would you stand up, please? One of our heroes is Joseph. Him being able to stand up and just to declare to his brothers, who are all afraid and just totally discombobulated,
yeah.
What are you doing? Remember the end from the beginning, and that this is not about us, but it's about His purpose.
Yes.
And Father, we pray over everyone here. Lord, help them remember their beginning. And Lord, what You've said over them, what You've promised, and the expectations, Lord, even that before they were born, they were knitted together by You in their mother's womb to accomplish Your will. To accomplish their Joseph task. Lord, help them to remember.
Yes, Jesus.
And God, I ask you to rebuke Satan,
yes,
who's the naysayer and comes and says, this is not real, this will not apply to you. You failed, you're a failure, this won't work, this won't work, this won't work, give up, give up, give up. God, I ask you to rebuke him.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I just, you give me that, you give me this vision of everyone here like a pool of water, a clean water that's moving with the current. Lord, it's clean and it's pure. And it's not divided, it's not muddy, it's not argumentative. Lord, I pray that the release of that revelation.
Yes, Jesus.
Everyone here, God says, you're my pool. You're God's pool. You're God's pool. You're not a mess of failure. You're God's pool. And Lord, may your refreshing and your cleansing wash through everyone here and encourage them. In the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Michael, Gloria, thank you so much. You know, they're going to be standing down front. Our prayer team is going to be standing down front as we dismiss here today. Real quick, if you filled out a connection card as a first-time guest, you signed up to be a part of our community group leader training, you can drop those off. If you'd like to give, you can drop those off in the boxes as you leave today. Again, our prayer team will be standing down front. We believe in the power of prayer here at Bethel. If you need anything, we'd love to pray for you. I'll be in the Global Cafe. Pastor Richard and I, Pastor Richard's actually in our Go Kids doing our baby dedication class before our service next Sunday. But I'll be in the Global Cafe. I'd love to meet and greet you as you leave today. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.